BBC Films and the Irish Film Board present, in association with Radio Telefí Sharon and Alta Films. In a room above a small seaside fish and chip restaurant named Benaventi's, its owner George is playing poker with his two sons, Frank and Joe, his daughter Carmel, and her boyfriend Ray.
Show me some favouritism there, Ray.
Nice ones now, Ray.
A little special there, Ray.
Nice ones myself.
Who's shy?
Who's shy?
Who's shy?
Me. It's me, sorry.
Every time.
What's an accident?
Every time.
Oh. Okay. Let's have a look at this.
Well, Ray, you'll have to give me a hand to feed here.
I hope no one can open.
These fucking cards are ridiculous.
Ah, sure. It's open.
Oh, can open. Can I get a beer, Frank?
In the fridge there, Ray, yeah? I'll deal for you when you're gone there, right?
Yeah, give me three. Surprise.
Okay. Don't forget me!
I wish I could. I'm crying.
As Ray steps out, the others sneak a peek at his cards.
Right. Oh, what do you have?
Come on, this is me.
Should I give him three jacks or something? Okay. And give me three queens.
Have a jack, okay. Baby.
Give me three jacks for Raimondo. One, two, three queens for you.
Ray returns with some beers.
Now, Ray. You wait a few.
Right.
Ray, look, would you flush the jacks?
Where'd you get her?
We don't know, but we're trying to give her to you. Now, are you right?
Ray looks at his cards.
Well, I was going for something. Doesn't matter what it was. That's irrelevant. And I bought in three little jackaroons.
Oh, my God, he won a hand.
Looks like your luck is changing.
For the worse.
Dee-da!
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Poplar win.
Not so fast, my feathered friend. Now, three wise men. The gold, frankincense,
carbloom.
This is the best hand I had all
night. You know what you are? You're a little bollocks. If you can't play without cheating, you just shouldn't play.
Hold on, who's cheating?
I learned everything I know from the maestro.
I mean, what's the point in playing cards, you know, if you're going to cheat? It's just stupid.
We're Italian, right?
Okay, my deal.
And Joe, it's mind your language.
A Treasure Films production. Peter MacDonald, Brian Cox, Connor Mullen, Lawrence Kinlan, and Brenda Gleeson. A thin blanket of sand is blown across a beach by a coastal breeze. Salt water. While Benaventi's is closed for business, upstairs in a bedroom containing two beds, shelves stacked with videos, and wallpaper turning one side of the room into the New York skyline, brothers Frank and Joe are asleep in bed. In another room, framed photographs, cosmetics and paperback books are all competing for space on a nightstand beside a bed. In it, Carmel lies asleep, while Ray's sitting up, lost in thought. Lastly, a memorial card stands open beside a double bed, in which George is lying on one side. Beside him, the other half of the bed is empty. A vision of a woman, as if in old cine film, walking along a beach in bright sunshine wearing a long red dress.
Joe
opens his eyes.
Joe. Come on, 7:15.
Let's go.
Monday. Frank's in Benaventi's kitchen, while Ray and Joe sit opposite each other at a table in a window.
I love this.
What?
I love being in here before yous are open.
Why?
I don't know. No one else can come in. It's like a little fucking privilege, you know? I like sneaky things. Love anything sneaky.
Who's that?
Königsberg, one of the world's most eminent philosophers, visiting our college, where I am going to take him down a peg. Or two.
How you going to do that?
With that.
See you later, Ray.
See you, Joe.
Ray calls across to Frank.
Do you know what? Your brother does my fucking head in.
He ignores him. A little later, Frank places a tray on the edge of George's bed and gently taps him on the wrist.
What? What? Yeah. What a tonight. Oh, that's great.
George can barely keep his eyes open. Meanwhile, Joe lugs a bike up a set of stone steps. A moment later, he's riding it to school when he spots a girl with strawberry blonde hair sitting at a bus stop with a boy in a uniform similar to his. Ray to Carmel.
Do you want a lift?
Is that your best offer?
Well, I've got to give a lecture.
Lecture me?
I tell you what, you get your coat and I'll give you a tutorial.
In the car?
Have to be quick.
Usually is.
Just get your fucking coat, will you?
Arriving at school, Joe spots a new boy named Damien smoking at the gates.
I don't like missiles, because I don't like missing. And the classic is the one smart fella that tries to drag the other fellas that aren't so smart down with him, because he likes a miss. Well, I'll tell you now, boys, I make it my mission to ensure that the monkey boys don't encourage the civilized fellas up for a swing in the branches. Oh, thank God, who have we here, huh? The new boy. The late Damien Fitzgibbon. There you are, there you are. I see they kept you the best seat in the house. Right up the front next to me, huh? There you are, there you are. Are you a messer boy? In my classroom, you're innocent until proven guilty. And you will be proven guilty. Sit down.
I tell you, boys, when I get home, I scrub myself from top to bottom to kill the monkey germs.
At Beneventi's, George and Frank are standing behind the counter when the door bursts open.
Well, Mac, how are you making? Hard old life, isn't it?
As a heavy-set man named McCurdy sits down with his nephew Charlie, George slips into a back room.
Small card in a large place, Frank.
Frank's staring at McCurdy.
Yo, Frank Sinatra.
Smoked in a large.
You think you're thinking about the sexy ladies, are you?
Yeah, I must be.
Yeah, you must be.
Frank serves McCurdy his order.
Ah, the Frank man, huh? I think you'd be avoiding me, dear.
What?
Look at the face of him. Sure, I'm only messing with you. You know Charlie, the nephew.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
How are you?
Charlie's done a bit of work for me, haven't you?
Yeah.
How are you finding it? Not the worst job in the world, huh?
Yeah, well.
Well, listen, when are you coming down to see me? Huh? Give you a man's job, huh? Proper wages.
Yeah, you know, Mr. McCurdy.
Sit down, sit down, sit down.
Frank sits down next to him.
Oh. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. Good.
Yeah. Mm. Because, come here, I like having a few lads around, you know? Keeps the shit away from the bogies. Get the old van out, deliver a few briquettes, you know?
Yeah, Mr. McCurdy's my dad, you know? I mean, he needs me here.
No, I know how you feel. I'm terrible fond of your dad, you know? Like, I was just thinking about you last night. Like, there's nothing for a fella like you staying in a town like this, you know? There really isn't. I should do a bit of graft for me. Eventually, I can put you into the cyber cafe in the city centre, you know? I should think about it.
Yeah.
No, really, though. I mean, really, think about it.
I will, yeah.
Good man, good man. Listen. Hey, just have a drink for yourself.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, respect that. Right, I'll let you get off. Just tell your dad we're away, will ya?
Okay.
Good man.
Okay.
Finish that up there, will ya?
Yeah.
After earning a few, Bob.
Yeah. Are you away.
Run away, George. Come here to me. It's quite awfully handy.
Oh, dear, sure. I'd be lost without him.
Oh, sure, Jesus, I know you would. A fellow like that's hard to find. I'm jealous of you. Hmm?
Come here to me when you come down to me. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get down earlier. I'm waiting on the fellow for the car.
Oh, yeah, no problem, no problem. But just get down, you know. Keep it steady. Regular payments, that's that. That's the secret.
Right.
Frank looks down at the cloth in George's hand.
What?
Don't be wiping your hands for that pig.
What?
Ray pulls up in his car outside the university. His arrival catches the attention of a young woman sitting on the steps reading. Climbing out and noticing her, Ray apprehensively puffs out his cheeks and walks away. Inside, he receives an icy stare from a female colleague as he arrives at a faculty meeting seconds before Professor Reagan.
I'm sorry that I'm late. Petrol, out of it. Right, straight to business. And now the... That's good. This meeting is to finalise the details of Königsberg's visit. We are, of course, all very, very pleased to have managed to get him. It is an honour. So the first thing that we need is a nice delegation to come with me to the airport to meet him. So, volunteers? Oh, good. Six. Right, OK. There's no go, Ray, on the questions, I'm afraid. He's not taking any questions.
What?
He can't. Well, he's not taking any questions.
That's insane.
I don't think he should have to answer any questions. He's 90 years of age, Ray. He'll be exhausted from his lectures.
What, you don't think that would be a little bit undemocratic, Trish? You know, listening to somebody banging on for hours and hours without being allowed to question it? Not to mention the importance of discussion to the progress of ideas.
Well, no, it's not our fault, Ray. I know how much you were looking forward to this, what we all were. I myself would personally love to see you grill him, but, well, it is his choice, and so all of this is purely academic. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just don't see the point in continuing the pursuit of truth and knowledge under these conditions.
Hey, come on.
How noble.
Königsberg is going down, and I'm the man that's going to do it.
Ray.
Do you realize how sad that sounds?
I don't care. I don't care.
What is the phrase I cannot stand? Daughters.
But the assassination was the match which lit a steadily increasing pile of tinder, sir.
That's right, sir. And why don't I like that phrase? Benevenetti.
Because it's in the book, sir.
Because it's in the book, sir. And why don't I like the phrases in the book? Dine.
Because every agent in the land will write them in the exam, sir.
That's right, sir. And half of you will still go ahead and write it. Won't you, Slogan?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Now, what have we here, sir?
Ho-ho! Filthy drawings, eh? Dirty pictures. Was that your best subject at your last school?
No.
No, sir, or no, Mr. Fanning?
No, Mr. Fanny.
What did you say?
No, sir.
You've been smart at me, boy.
No, sir.
Stand up.
Damien gets to his feet.
Is this how you see women? Because I won't have this around me. And I certainly won't have it in one of my classes. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, what?
Yes, sir.
Sit down, don't let me catch you with this filth again. Right. Can you give me another cause for the First World War, Rooney?
Imperialism, sir.
Can you not be a little bit more vague, Rooney? No?
Two snack boxes, please.
Well, Sergeant, you caught any criminals today, no?
Really slow today, Larry.
Mind you, it wasn't so slow when you were out chasing Republicans all over the place, was it? Huh? And only trying to set poor old Ireland free. You fucking treacherous bitch.
Larry.
Out.
New
Year.
Oh, come on.
Not Larry yet.
I told you before. There's a line. Now get out. Sleep it off.
I'm very sorry about that, Sergeant.
Why is everyone in this town always pissed, Franco?
No direction.
You didn't think of the guards, Frank, no?
I don't think it'll be brilliant to take an orders. Now, in fairness, Sergeant, you know?
Oh, we'd knock that out of you. But that's what you do here all day, anyway.
What?
Take orders.
Well, you're trying to destroy my self-esteem here now, is that what you're doing, yeah?
I'm just trying to give you some.
Hmm.
Have you been out in that new place in Lusk?
No, I stay local.
I was thinking I might go out some night. If you fancy. It's some night.
Yeah. What night, though? Because, I have to paint the bathroom ceiling. Would it be a weeknight?
You do me a favour, Frank?
Yeah.
Don't have a heart attack.
Yep.
And forget I asked.
Yep. Yep.
Hey! No! Keep it down, Paddy!
What do you think of this school? It's full of assholes. Where did you leave your last school?
Being on the Mitch. And I told the teacher to fuck off. She was just out of hospital or something. And she started crying. Like it was my fault. Wanker.
Fanning's playing hurling.
Oh, don't tell me.
As Fanning gives a fellow teacher a bunk up to reach a ball in the tree, Damien picks up a stone.
What are you doing? Do you want to see a good aim?
No.
He hits Fanning on the head.
Fucking hell.
A moment later.
Split up.
What?
Split up.
Escaping on their bikes, Damien and the terrified Joe split up at a fork in the road. A little later, Joe arrives back at Benavente's.
Whoa. Scholar.
Casually sitting down next to his dad, Joe loosens his tie.
How was it?
Bit of dust for a change.
Mm-hmm.
Frank looks at him.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Frank seems satisfied.
Yeah, now, this weekend, I was thinking that maybe we could go up and visit the grave, yeah, Dad?
Yeah.
We go up, Joe, yeah?
Yes, whatever.
Okay, Sunday afternoon? Sunday afternoon.
As Frank disappears around a corner, George knocks on the table and makes a yapping gesture with his hand. Tuesday. A couple sitting on a bench by the sea get up for a stroll as a pensive Frank looks out from the window of the deserted restaurant. Behind him, George is sitting at a table.
Have you got any money on you, son?
Look, how much?
Like, say, 12, 15.
What's it for?
Ah, it's for...
It's for Simon McCordy, isn't it?
I'll be telling you a bit fucking short here, come on.
Hey, you're 12 quid short here.
Ah, you know. I like to give it 50. At a time.
How long are you going to be paying it off?
3 months. Well, 3 months to see me finished.
It's been fucking years, but how much is it?
What?
Overall, what are we looking at, around 2 grand?
Two. 2.5. Call it 3.
What's wrong with the bank?
The bank.
Oh, the bank.
What?
The bank.
We want to get you down the bank. Get you a loan, clear this off with Simple Simon. Well, I'll tell you. You're not going to be crippled with this fucking shit.
Stop it. You give me a fucking headache, all right?
You might as well give him the keys. Seems to own everything else in the town, you know? What are you like?
I don't know.
Fucking say it to him. We're out of season. It's a killer. Ask him. Give us a break just till summer kicks in. It's fucking shit now.
Yeah.
Will you say it to
me? I said yeah.
Go on out of that, you bollocks. I'm coming down with you.
Like, well, I fuck. Like, I'm going to.
Get your coat.
No.
Get your coat.
No.
Stepping into a betting shop with Frank in tow, George presents himself to the woman behind the counter.
Hola.
I'm not going to the pictures with you.
Ah. Is he in?
Yeah, he's in the back. Do you want to come round?
Thanks, Elliot. Hello, Charlie.
In McCurdy's office.
Well, what can I do for you?
Oh,
good man. What's here?
Should be 50.
Oh, yeah, well, sure. I'm sure. I trust you, George. Yes. At this stage. No.
What are we today, darling?
Fort.
Could you give us some idea how we stand, Simon, at the moment?
I could, of course, yeah. I could. Is everything all right?
Yeah, just to know where we are.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, don't apologize.
No, and you've paid me as of now in the last 2 years. Let's see, where are we?
Frank, would you ever do the honours with the tea there? Like a good man. Thanks, Orla. And then now we said, what did we say? That'll be 44 payments of £50. No, 45 now. That's the one you gave me now. I'm just writing that in now. So that will be 45 at... Oh, jeez, have you... Is there no milk? Right, so that'll come to now. £1,190 outstanding. All right. Okay.
Wait until things are back in season, you know. You know yourself, I'm relying on a few of my regulars, you know. Kind of taking over till the summer.
You want to make a break with the payments?
Yeah.
George, are you stuck?
Well, not stuck. A little impeded.
Right. Now, tell us, do you keep any old bloody accounts down in the chipper there?
Well, basic, you know.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well, look, I'll tell you what, let me have a look, and I'll see what I can do. Which is, maybe to speed it up, I could go in, float in a little bit of money, maybe a grand or... Fuck it. What's outstanding here, maybe? Hmm? That could be my share. You know, we could be partners for 6 months or whatever, and I'll take what you at source as partners.
Partners?
In the chipper. Oh, yeah, well, geez, then I'll back out, like, I'll be gone, you know? And we're even. What do you think of that?
Later, George and Frank arrive back at Benavente's.
If you just give me that 12 quid. But you couldn't do that, could you? You had to make a thing of it. Now, look.
I am not a clown. I borrowed the money from him in the first place.
When George walks away, Frank picks up a bottle of ketchup and hurls it at the menu standing on a shelf. Returning in time to watch him storm out, George surveys the damage. At the university, one of Ray's lectures is coming to an end.
Before we go, please, please don't forget that the world famous eminent philosopher Professor Wolfgang Königsberg is visiting our college for 3 days from Wednesday to expound his theory that language is dying. Now, this is a rare opportunity for you to see an historical figure in philosophy while he's still alive, for the moment at least. People, next time.
Getting to her feet, the young woman from the steps smiles knowingly back at Ray. Later, she's sitting with him in his office.
Look, Deborah, I've been thinking about this, you know, and I can't. You know, I'm with someone.
Oh, all right.
And I can't hurt them.
Well, maybe you should have said something.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, regardless, you know, it's a professional fucking thing. I could lose my job over.
Yeah, I know, but it's like... I don't want this to become a thing where I feel like, oh, okay, and you gave me a line, and I went for it.
Well, I don't think I did. Well, okay, I might have said some stuff, you know, but I mean, that's because I just get too intense about this fucking shit.
Yeah, I know, but now you're saying it's nothing.
No, Jesus, no. I mean, what have I just said? You know, I mean, I haven't felt like this, like, since I was a teenager. Well, you are a teenager.
Ray, I'm 21.
Oh, yeah, okay, right, you're 21.
Oh, don't be so sarcastic.
I'm not being sarcastic, you know? I'm sorry, I feel awful.
So, that's it then?
I don't know.
Look, do you want me to just go?
Well, I mean, I know you should go.
Yeah, but do you want me to? Do you fancy a pint?
I'm off the drink, you know. Technically. Well, maybe just one.
Standing outside the restaurant on a terrace overlooking the beach, Frank lights up a cigarette and stares out to sea, lost in thought. Later, he's standing in front of the bathroom mirror with his face half covered in shaving cream. Looking up and catching sight of his reflection, he stops and stares at it as if seeing himself for the first time. Now, Frank's in a pub, listening to two locals chewing the barman's ear.
She was the most beautiful girl, you know?
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
She was something in this town. Something to behold.
Break your fucking heart.
He's never spoke to her, hmm?
No, You wouldn't.
Show me your fucking tattoo.
It's not for us. It's not for you.
That's what was
the way we thought about it.
You weren't even there. Jesus Christ, I look at her now, though. Like fat lump, she is. I tell you, you nearly shit yourself now if she's that fucking ugly.
It'd break your heart.
Aye, aye. Oh, look who's escaped.
Oh, no, Jesus.
How's it going, son?
What do you have?
I know, lads. I look after myself.
I know, we'll get
you. No, I look after myself. A pint of cider, please, Teddy. Tim.
How are you doing?
Doing good, yeah.
Yeah? You're on the right track, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, look, don't fuck me up here, boys, okay?
Huh? There you go, John.
Ah, yeah. Anybody, I think, can be led astray.
That's right, sir.
He was always a good boy in here, where it counts.
Okay, I'm going to sort of skull this, and then I need to fly into the night, so...
Ah, yeah. And enjoy the point, your drink, and the atmosphere. And your liberty. And cheers.
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 Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
Frank watches as John downs his pint, then plants his empty glass on the bar.
Ladies.
There goes one of the biggest fucking headbangers this town ever produced.
Sure, all the trainers were mental.
Frank finds John peeing against a wall.
Yo, John.
Oh, Frank, man, yeah.
You all right there, are you?
Yeah. Wrecked, you know. I just got out on Monday. I've just done this thing where I'm... like having a pint in every pub in town. It's 14 pints, you know.
Jesus. Yeah, that's good going, John.
Yeah, it is. It is good going when you stop to consider that all the pubs are full of smelly old bastards.
Yeah.
What's up?
John kicks in a gate, then leads Frank into a backyard. John steps into a converted coal shed. Frank follows him inside and closes the door.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's judge and jury.
A length of copper pipe locked in a vise is sawn in half. Next, the two halves are bound together at the ends using black tape and spray painted black. Pointing them at Frank, John looks like he's holding a shotgun.
Will that do you?
He hands them to Frank, showing him how to hold them so his coat disguises the non-existent trigger and stock, then gives him a thumbs up. At home, Joe's slumped on the sofa watching TV on his own. Hearing a noise, he gets up and walks across the hall. Carmel's emptying a wardrobe into bin bags.
Oh, yeah.
She takes out a blouse.
Stupid. All these clothes still lying here. Yeah.
Leaning against the doorframe, Joe's mind begins to wander. Later, Frank's in bed, lying on his side with his eyes open. George is sitting at the end of his bed, holding a shoe. Snapping out of a daze, he looks down and examines it before placing it on the floor beside the other one. Carmel, sitting in bed, reading Ray's book by Konigsberg with a furrowed brow. Ray, meanwhile, is lying in bed with Deborah. He seems pensive until he looks down at her, resting her head on his shoulder, and they share a smile. Joe's dreaming about the woman on the beach. As the flickering, bleached images become clearer, Joe opens his eyes. The woman's wearing sunglasses and holding a pair of shoes down by her side. Joe looks around. Later, he carries his bike up the stone steps, then passes the bus stop. Sitting alone, smoking a cigarette, the strawberry blonde girl looks up as he rides by and the pair lock eyes for an instant. Wednesday. Joe's school has gathered for an assembly.
Now, this is very simple. On Monday afternoon, Mr. Fanning was hit on the head with a stone, and Mr. Gibney was also injured. He was lucky. He only sprained his wrist. But Mr. Fanning was unconscious for about 30 seconds, which is very serious. Now, the way I see it is this. Some boy here knows who did it, if only the boy himself. If he does not come forward, or is brought forward, I'm going to give the whole school detention. Every Wednesday and Thursday, starting from today. Quiet! You see, boys, this is not simply a school matter. This is a matter for the guards. This is Sergeant Duggan. And she is very concerned to find out who did this, so as he can be brought to book for what we consider a very serious incident.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm not going to do fucking detention.
The whole school's going to be in it.
I'm not. I'm going to Mitch after lunch. And you should as well.
Why?
There's no point you being in detention for something I did. I'm an expert forger. I'll give you a brilliant no. What? You gonna rat me?
No.
Well then, you're in it.
Later, the two friends push their bikes up to a house with a speedboat named Overdraft parked in the driveway.
Is that your boat?
Yeah, it doesn't go.
They step inside.
Yo, Mum!
Where's your dad?
He lives in England.
Dropping his bag in the kitchen, Damien checks inside a cupboard.
Do you want some toast?
Yeah, probably.
Sitting in his bedroom above the restaurant, Frank cuts two holes in a dark woolly bobble hat. Putting it on and pulling it down over his face like a balaclava, he gets up and stands in front of a mirror.
Nobody move!
Realizing he's left the bobble on the top, he cuts it off.
Okay. This is a robbery. Get your hands on that. Hands in your head.
He takes out his imitation shotgun.
This is a fucking robbery. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Okay. Get your hands on that. Hands in your head. Get your hands in your heads. Come on. Your face is on the floor. Come on. Hey, you. Nobody fucking move. This is a fucking robbery. Come on. Come on, come on, you big man. Come on, let's go, down the floor.
Hold on, don't come in.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm just moving the bed around, okay? Just moving the bed around.
Moving the bed? What?
Yeah, just moving the bed. Come in.
Carmel opens the door.
You're all right?
Yeah. You're home early, yeah?
No. Who are you talking to?
No, it was the radio.
What radio?
Trying desperately to think of an answer, Frank simply nods.
So you're having a bit of a play, are you? In your room.
You know yourself.
Right. See you later.
Okay. Thanks again, Carmel.
He hangs his head, then falls back on his bed and puts his hands to his face. Now, Carmel's having a drink with Ray in a pub.
You all right?
Yeah. I don't treat you very well.
What are you talking about?
I know I don't. You know, the way that I think about you.
And what way do you think about me?
It's like, you know, when I'm in my car, you know, it's like I'm in a machine, right? And it brings me from this world into a different world. And when I'm in that world, I just don't think about you.
You're trying to confess something to me, right?
No. No. I just gotta stop thinking.
What are you like?
I know. Yeah.
Outside a club, what looks like a mass brawl turns out to be three bouncers sifting through a group of young people. They shove away the undesirables and bark orders at the others to form an orderly queue outside the building.
Come on, Peter, you're fucking dead! Get on the queue! Fuck you!
Standing in line, Damien turns to Joe.
It's good once you get in.
At the door.
How much is it?
£6.
£6?
What am I after saying? £6.
I'm moving, lad. Will you move it?
I'll put your coat in over there.
Can I not hang on to it,
no? No, you have to put it in. And it's £1.
Joe steps over to the cloakroom. A moment later, he's slowly weaving between the other clubbers, heading in the direction of the bar. Once there, he leans against it and looks out over a sea of bodies. One teenaged boy is sitting with a girl on each arm. Now, as Joe sips a pint at the bar, he looks over his shoulder to find Tara, the blonde girl from the bus stop, staring at him.
Joe Beneventi.
Someone's after taking me bag.
What?
Someone's after taking me bag.
Did you tell the bouncer?
You have to wait till the end.
You want to ask at the cloakroom, see if someone leave it in?
You ask.
He steps away from the bar.
Well, are you coming?
She takes his hand and follows him across the dance floor. At the door, a bottle hurled from outside just misses a bouncer's head. Joe approaches the cloakroom attendant.
Sorry, has someone handed in a small black handbag?
It's not a fucking handbag.
What?
Mum, move in or get out.
She's
lost her bag.
No, you get out the end of the night.
Look, I'm not getting any more fucking bags, Tony, right? I'm going on my break.
I know. Will you move in?
She's lost her stuff, man.
There's nothing I can do about it. She's wrecked.
She had it. And which of you had the drink, love?
Fuck off.
Right, that's it.
What?
Get the dog.
Get your
get out of my
way. The bouncers throw them outside.
Catch us a fucking act together.
Can I just get me jacket?
Yeah. True again.
What?
Is that it?
No.
Watch I go, there.
Yeah, look, I just want to get my jacket, that's all.
And don't keep getting smart with me, pal. It'll break you up, Jim.
Oh,
box. Yeah. What's your name?
Joe.
Joe. Joe what? Blowjob?
Leave him alone.
Ooh. Sorry. Talking to me, tits. Slap your fucking head in as well.
Yeah, go on then.
No fucking problem with that, love.
When Tara slaps him across the face, Junior punches her to the ground and starts laying into her. Joe tries to pull him back, but Junior's friends drag Joe to the ground and kick him. Turning his attention from Lara, Junior delivers the final kicks before walking away with the rest of his gang. In pain, Joe takes Tara by the hand, then pulls her to her feet and leads her away. Later, they're sitting side by side on a wall, looking out to sea.
You all right?
Yeah. I'm really sore. I'm really sorry.
Show me a mouth.
You gonna kiss it better?
Fucking hell, you got a fair right couple of smacks off your man.
I see you every morning.
I see you.
I want to go to sleep.
She rests her head on his shoulder, taking him by surprise. Just then, Damien appears.
Yo, Joe, it's me.
Jesus,
have your boy.
I thought you were someone else. Come on, we'll take you home.
She all right?
I think she's just a bit pissed more than anything.
Fucking typical.
Now, pushing his bike along a path cutting through woods, Joe's trying to keep Tara on her feet when she drops to her knees.
Here, do you want me to take her for a while?
Ah, she's all right.
Jesus, man. You'll be wrecked.
Damien walks around and picks Tara up.
Come on. Give Joe a rest. That's it.
I've got you. Does she live around here?
Nah, this is a shortcut.
They continue shuffling along.
Listen, you go on. I can get her back from here.
Ah, well, hang on with you.
As the path joins another, Damien turns and heads towards a large building.
Here. But where are you going?
We gotta have a piss. Mind me bike.
She okay?
She's fine. I'll just go in here.
She can wait out here with me. She should wait out here with me, man.
Damien ignores him.
He's all right, yeah?
Joe waits. Now he's pushing both of the bikes through a graveyard, looking all around. Damien's on top of Tara with his trousers down. Joe can see she's unconscious. Joe drops Damien's bike, then rides away as fast as he can. Later, at home in the bathroom, sitting on the edge of the bath, sniffing back tears, he presses a cloth against the wound on his earlobe and grimaces. Thursday. Joe carries his bike up the stone steps, then rides to school. Passing the bus stop, he stops in the middle of the road and looks across. There's nobody there. In class, whilst the other boys have their heads down in concentration, a distracted Joe glances across the room at an empty chair. Later, he pulls up on his bike outside Damien's house and knocks on the front door. When nobody answers, he looks in through a couple of windows. Meanwhile, Frank takes a case out from under his bed and opens it. He takes out a long green jacket with a hood, then puts it on and zips it up. Then he removes the homemade shotgun from a pillowcase and puts his improvised mask in his pocket. He pauses to fold the pillowcase into neat quarters, then places it under his pillow before eventually heading off. Outside, he tackles a row of back gardens like an army assault course. Hopping over a series of walls and keeping low in between, he eventually ends up in a patch of long grass. A little later, he's striding along the pavement with a look of steely determination. With McCurdy's betting shop set firmly in his sights, he steps out onto the road, right into the path of a speeding car.
What are you doing, you fucking agent?
Unfazed, Frank turns away from the door as a man steps out of the shop, then takes out his fake shotgun. Inside, McCurdy's helping Charlie with the crossword.
So what's 17 down? What the fuck does that spell?
Xylophone.
Oh, for Jesus' sake, what's the clue?
Musical instrument,
Zither, zither, zither.
What the fuck's a zither?
That doesn't fucking fit, for Jesus' sake.
How did he fucking move?
Huh?
Nobody fucking move.
Look, this is a fucking robbery, okay? So put your hands up! And nobody move!
He kicks Charlie's stool from under him and knocks a mug out of McCurdy's hand.
The rest of you is down as well. Come on! Get down! All of you get down! Not you, not you. Now put your faces on the floor, your hands behind your heads.
Big man, I want every fucking penny in this place.
Not an awful lot, no, son. It's hardly worth your while.
Well, you better make it with my will.
McCurdy steps behind the counter and starts punching buttons on the till.
Orla.
Bang it on the side.
Which this one?
No.
This one?
Yeah.
The till opens.
Back up your bloody mind, would ya?
Leave it!
McCurdy hands Frank some cash.
How was yours? Looking for another one. Get out.
No, now I want the safe.
What safe?
What safe? Huh?
He steps on Charlie.
I'm opening that safe now. I'll blow his fucking legs off!
Yes!
What?
I'm after winning.
I swear to you, I'll blow his legs off.
McCurdy steps into his office.
Leave it open! Let me see!
He reaches into the safe.
There's only books, right? Do you want to do the books as well?
Nothing in the box, right?
Those bags! All those bags there!
Those are only bloody dockets.
McCurdy returns with a bundle of small bags, then hands them over to Frank.
Some of them not money now, I'm telling you, there's only dockets, like, you're only weighing you
shut
down.
Shut up! Just shut the fuck up, huh?
Hey, Happy now, big man?
Frank considers.
Take your clothes off.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Take your clothes off.
Take it easy, will you?
It is easy.
McCurdy starts to take off his jacket.
You're mad.
You should do it then.
As he removes his jacket, Frank presses his foot down on Charlie's back.
Fuck's sake, Gordon, give us a break, would you?
McCurdy takes off his red shirt.
I won't have all day, pal.
Hey.
All off.
What, you got me cocks and everything off? What's wrong with you?
Just do it.
No. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it, you know? I'm not going to do it. You're wasting your time. You might as well fuck off out of here. Go on, get out.
Oh, fuck, come on, come on, come on! Stay down! Go on!
Frank pushes McCurdy outside, then looks him up and down.
Bastard.
He turns and runs. As he disappears around a corner, standing in his white vest and trousers, McCurdy knocks on the shop door. Frank's about to climb a wall.
Hey, you!
Charlie's holding a long spike.
Put it down.
Put the fucking thing down!
Frank scrambles over the wall and lets himself drop. Charlie's about to follow him over when he falls into a wheelie bin, giving Frank enough time to hobble away along the beach. Frank turns into an alley and ducks around a corner before Charlie finally makes it over the wall. Banknotes fall from his pocket as he runs out onto the high street, yanking off his mask. Trying the door to a pub and finding it locked, he turns and spots Ray's car parked at the side of the road. He just manages to jump into the passenger seat before Charlie comes tearing out of the alley and crashes into Joe riding his bike. By the time Charlie recovers and looks around for Frank, he and Ray have already sped off. Meanwhile, Joe, who's been left pushing a broken bike, spots some of the banknotes on the ground and casually pockets them. Later, Frank's piled the loot onto his bed.
I don't believe this, Frank. I don't believe it.
Somebody's gonna want that back. It's robbery. It's a fucking robbery, Frank.
Look, you know, I mean, just...
They freeze as somebody tries to get in. Joe's standing in the hall.
Don't let him in. Don't. Jesus, Frank! Joe?
Yeah. There's no one's after knocking me off me. Hey, Ray. What? What?
Joe.
What are you doing?
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Frank,
look at me.
Frank, you're haunting me.
Stop. Joe. Joe. No, I'm after stealing some money, okay?
What?
I'm after stealing some money from Simple Simon.
Frank, don't fucking mess, man. What is it?
I'm not fucking messing. Did you know that Dad owes money to Simple Simon?
What money?
He owes him some money, okay?
Much? How much is it?
I don't know. It's got to be 30 grand.
What?
At least.
30 grand? I mean, okay, you know? Dad owed him 3.
Fuck,
so I'm being straight with you, Joe. Okay?
This is a joke. This is your money, Ray, right?
I wish it was a joke, Joe, you know. I'm after doing the getaway.
You both did it?
No!
It was fucking
genius brains here.
Jesus Christ, I am.
I got to get out of here.
Jesus, Frank.
I'm sorry, Joe. I'm afraid no one's going anywhere at this point in time. All right? You're going to be okay. All right?
Fucking head.
Joe banged his head on the door.
What are we going to do?
You see, at last, somebody is finally asking a sensible question. Now, I should know. I have that sort of philosophical training. What are we going to do?
Frank and Joe are sitting in the restaurant, staring into space with despondent expressions. George comes over and puts a plate of food in front of each of them. They remove their cutlery from their napkins.
Everything all right?
Yeah.
This boat looks like it's in a ghost.
We just saw a dog being knocked down.
A dog? You think it was a child the way they're sitting there?
It's just a bit.
What's wrong with your leg?
Oh, I was trying to help the dog, the fucking thing bit me, you know?
Fucking? Get it seen to buy.
I will, yeah, yeah. I'll go down after tea.
You're an awful Lula.
George walks off. Frank looks at Joe, who sighs sullenly. They look at their food, then reluctantly tuck in. Now, Joe's dreamlike visions of the woman in the red dress are interspersed with memories of Damien's attack on Tara, Damien's bicycle collapsing onto the ground, and Tara's arm poking through a metal railing as she's raped while lying unconscious. Joe's lying on his bed. He stares up at the ceiling, then plucks a black and white photograph from the bedside cabinet. It's a picture of his mother holding him when he was a toddler. He holds it to his chest. Joe stares up at the ceiling again with a sullen expression. Friday. Frank sitting in the restaurant. Sergeant Duggan comes in.
Hello.
Sergeant, snack box?
No, sit down. I'm not hungry. I'm just nosing around.
Okay.
Do you know anything about the robbery?
About the bookies?
Hmm.
Don't know what about them?
Just thought you might have heard about it.
Just the same as anyone. Some nutcase robbed the place.
Yeah. You know this young buck, don't you?
Yeah. John Schreiner.
You seen him since he left prison?
Yeah, I had a pint with him.
He's broken his parole. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Did he say anything to you about leaving?
I think that he might have said something about Chicago. Yeah.
Chicago?
Yeah, as I said, I don't really remember.
But did he say anything about the bookies?
No.
You didn't talk about it?
No.
I want you to have a little think about it, hmm? And give me a ring if you remember anything. Will you do that?
Sure, yeah. Okay.
I'll leave you to your paper.
Yeah, it's not mine. Somebody left it behind.
Finders keepers, huh?
The paper's open to a picture of a topless woman. Sergeant Duggan winks at him, then leaves. Ray's sitting in his office playing with a drum.
Ryan, man.
Frank?
Talk to me.
How's it going?
Fucking nerve-wracking, man.
How's Joe?
Joe's okay.
Yeah, he's good, yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, but I sort of don't know what I'm doing, you know?
You know?
I can't...
George walks through the kitchen.
Frank?
I want to get away.
I mean, I gotta get out of here. I mean, just a couple of days even.
Okay, look, I'll tell you what, we go away for the weekend.
Hmm?
Yeah, good.
Okay, bring Joe. Nice hotel, pool, yeah?
Yeah, good, okay.
Okay. And Frank?
Yeah?
This is on you.
Of course it's on me.
Yeah, fucking right, of course it is.
You fucking moron.
Frank hangs up. Professor Konigsberg is making his way down a staircase, surrounded by his applauding admirers.
Hello, how are you?
He shakes hands with several people. Nearby, Ray downs a drink, then pours himself another. He notices Deborah and nods hello to her.
Ray?
Hey, Tony.
The thing is, well, we went to meet him at the airport. He's really a nice enough fellow. I said it to him about the questions, and lo and behold, he just goes,
yeah.
After all that?
It's not a session. It's just one or two questions. Oh. But I put it down that you'd ask one.
Oh, no, that's great. That's brilliant.
That's what it's all about, you know.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Right. 11 o'clock in the morning, yeah?
Okay.
Don't drink too much.
Oh, yeah.
He glances over at Deborah, who's smiling and chatting.
Just get past. Thank you. How are you?
What?
That's it. Don't mind me. A little drink in moderation never hurt anyone.
Why the hell do you always look at me as if I have just gingerly slipped a wasp up your crack?
Because I know what you're like, maybe.
I know. It's a terrible thing, you know. You've gone through your whole life and no one will touch you with a 10-foot pole. But it's nobody's fault, you know. It is not the fault of mankind, Trish. Just let it go.
Tell me about you and Deborah McKeever. Oh, that caught your attention. What are you playing at?
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, really? Then why has one of her classmates reported you? Sort it out, Ray. Don't make me tell Tony.
Trish.
At the pub, Ray takes a couple of drinks from the bar and brings them over to a table where Deborah is sitting. She smiles at him and Ray takes a drag on his cigarette. He stubs out his cigarette.
Deborah, I am in trouble with my boss, and so are you. It is an extremely bad situation.
What? I'm in trouble?
The only way that I am going to be able to keep my job is if you get booted out of college.
What?
Or we stop seeing each other.
Jesus Christ!
So, what do you want to do?
Ray, I can't believe they boot me out.
Absolutely, they'd boot you out.
They wouldn't, their arse.
Believe what you like. It wouldn't be the first. We have to stop seeing each other forthwith, as of.
Okay. Okay. Jesus Christ.
Deborah, I think you are lovely. You don't have to return a compliment.
Sorry. I'm just fucking reeling here. I'm in shock.
That's it. Shinny.
Okay. Jesus!
He reaches to touch her face, but she slaps his hand away.
Wait.
Can I have a hug?
Right, we can't.
Can I come back to your house?
I really don't think that's a very good idea.
Deborah breaks sharply outside her house, then she and Ray get out of the car and run inside. On the staircase, Ray frantically undoes his trousers, then Deborah kisses him hungrily. Next, she pushes him back on the bed.
No, Deborah.
What?
I'm really kind of interested in you keeping the boots on.
Saturday.
What are you doing? Just getting a suitcase. What time are you going?
Ray's picking us up at lunchtime.
George eyes Frank suspiciously through the hatch in the attic floor, then nods and wanders off.
How much are you taking?
I don't know. I want to do this properly. I'm taking $5,000.
A little later, George is in the restaurant, sitting next to Charlie and staring across the table at McCurdy. Eventually, George knocks on the table and gets up. Passing Frank as he walks away from the table, he sighs deeply and glances in McCurdy's direction. As George wanders off, Frank goes over to McCurdy.
There he is. Hi. It's shocking. It's shocking what happened.
It's a dreadful fucking world, Frank. You put years into a community. You turn around and they fuck you in the arse.
Do you think they'll ever catch who did it?
Pardon me. I'm sure the guards in this town couldn't catch the clap of a 10-spot whore.
The fucking killer is. I nearly had the bastard, Frank.
Yeah?
He's as close to me as you are now.
Vanished into thin air. Luckiest bastard I ever saw.
Bastard.
Frank holds McCurdy's stare for a moment, then goes over to serve the new customers.
Now, 1, 2, 3, 4 pretty little ladies. What do we want?
Curled up on the bed, Ray reaches for the alarm clock. Oh. He slowly swings his legs over the side of the bed and sits up. Oh. Now he's sitting on the toilet. Ray trudges out of a petrol station shop. He opens a bottle of pills and tips some into his hand. He tosses them into his mouth, then closes the bottle. He opens a large carton of orange juice and gulps it down. He gulps and gulps. At the university.
When I say language is dying, one of the most common criticisms is that I could not communicate such a fact if it were. Further, I do concede that when I say language is dying, I'm being partially mischievous. But it has been said before. Socrates was concerned by the sophist's mastery of rhetoric for precisely that reason. The more communication becomes an effective tool in getting us what we want, the more selective we become with information and the less we can really know. Huh? This is all I mean. Thank you very much.
Sitting in the lecture hall, Ray stirs from sleep as the attendees applaud around him.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Professor Killingsberg. Now, Professor Killingsberg has kindly agreed to take one or two questions, and I know that Dr. Raymond Sullivan would like to ask the first one.
Ray gets unsteadily to his feet. Sitting nearby, Deborah watches him expectantly. Suddenly, Ray's mouth opens and projectile vomit spews onto the students in the rows below.
Oh!
Oh, Deborah cups her mouth in shock, and the students cower as vomit splatters all over them. Professor Konigsberg watches with a quizzical frown as Ray wipes his mouth with a tissue.
Thank you. Professor Reagan, I would like to ask Professor Konigsberg if during his long and eminent career, he has ever seen anything expressed quite like that.
Please?
Thank you. It certainly cleared up a lot for me. Excuse me.
Ray sits back down. Trish folds her arms, looking furious.
Are there any further questions?
Now, Ray's sitting outside Beneventi's, smoking a cigarette. He has a despondent expression. Frank comes out, a suit bag draped over his arm.
Giuseppe!
Joe follows Frank outside, and Frank opens the boot of a car. As Frank arranges the stuff in the boot, George comes over and puts a folded-up banknote in his jacket pocket.
Would you buy around and don't be messing? Hey, steady on. You're only away for a night.
Frank tried to give George a hug. As Frank heads back inside, George closes the boot. Now, Ray's driving the car with Frank in the passenger seat and Joe in the back. They all have serious frowns. Joe stares out of the window as the setting sun shimmers on calm water.
I seem to be in awe of everything you are. I guess to you.
The car makes its way along a dirt road that cuts through well-tended countryside. A young woman swims across a pool adjacent to a jacuzzi where Frank's lounging in the frothing water. The woman climbs out of the pool and steps into the jacuzzi. Frank looks mildly uncomfortable and smiles at her politely. Joe's sitting in a sauna across from Ray, who rests his head against the wooden wall and closes his eyes.
What do girls want when they're with a fella?
That's a hard question, you know. That's like saying, what do people want? Nobody knows.
What if, say, a girl was, like, asleep or something, and you decided you were gonna, you know, do what you wanted while she was asleep or something, or mad drunk or something? If she didn't know, she wouldn't want to, would she?
What do you mean?
You know.
I think the thing about things like that is, you know, just don't be a bollocks, isn't it?
Ray pours some water over his head.
Sometimes, you know, you just can't fucking see past yourself and you go on and you be a bollocks anyway and you know that you are. And then that might get you annoyed and you just keep going and... I'll tell you this much, though. I wish I had respected women more in my life. Because there is nothing worth ending up on your own for Joe. Now, nothing. Do You're not in trouble, are you, John?
Oh, no.
Now, Ray, Joe and Frank are in a nightclub.
Ta-da! Ooh, yeah. I feel like celebrating.
Champagne.
You ever had champagne?
No.
I haven't either, Ray.
All right. Here we go. Get that down. Steady.
Now, good luck.
Cheers. Cheers.
Frank and Joe wince as they drink.
Isn't that the most gorgeous fucking taste?
It's very bitter, isn't it?
That's disgusting.
Why, you're not trying the champagne?
I just don't like the taste of it, that's all right.
I'll be nice here, Frank, you know? I'm not going to tell you how much this costs.
Well, I didn't ask you to buy it, mate, you know?
But I'll drink it. Now, I'm going to drink it, Frank. I'm going to drink it all.
Good, do.
I am.
Good, I know.
Do. I will.
I know.
Good. Yeah.
All right.
Frank. What are you looking at?
Nothing.
You're so.
A girl.
See, that is what you need. But you don't think you'd have a chance there, huh?
What do you think?
I think she would go for you big time. Hold on. Thank you, Frank.
What are you doing?
Ray takes Frank's drink over to her.
What are you doing?
Well, I think he's talking to the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life. Relax.
What are you doing?
They're coming over.
Gentlemen, this is Michelle. Michelle, this is Frank. And this is Joe, who I was telling you about.
Hi. Would you like to dance?
Yeah.
Frank seems amazed as Michelle takes Joe by the hand and leads him over to the dance floor.
What did you say to her?
What?
How did you do that?
Uh-huh.
Come on, man.
Trade secret.
You paid her?
Would you give me some credit?
Okay, Ray, I'm begging you. I'm begging you to tell me what you did here.
I told her he's got 6 months to live.
Well, is she not scared of catching what he is?
No, it's not stupid, Frank. You can't catch leukemia.
They look at each other, then both start to laugh. On the dance floor, a tense Joe looks back at them from over Michelle's shoulder as they dance cheek to cheek.
In the beginning, we close our eyes.
Running her fingers over Joe's hair, Michelle gently presses her lips against his. Watching from the side, a cloud of melancholy seems to have descended over Frank and Ray. But when Michelle wraps her arms around Joe and he buries his face in her shoulder, the faintest of smiles lightens Frank's expression. Sunday. Ray's car pulls up in front of a police car parked outside Benavente's. As Ray, Frank and Joe step out, a uniformed officer climbs out of the police car.
Is there a problem, guard?
I'm just going to ask you to come in, man.
Is someone going to tell me, please, what this is all about?
I'd just like to have a word with Joe, Frank, OK?
Joe? What's wrong?
Just want to ask him a few questions.
About what? Ask me.
It's got nothing to do with you, Frank.
Carmel, can you get everyone a cup of coffee or something?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. Joe? Mr. Benavente.
Would someone tell me what the fuck
is
going
on? Get out! Get out! I'll tell you later.
Selfish.
Do you like to sit down?
Joe takes a seat next to George on the sofa.
Okay. Now, the first thing I'm going to ask is if you know a girl called Tara Comiskey.
No.
No? Because you were seen with her outside Shadow's nightclub on Wednesday evening.
Oh, yeah.
Do you go to Shadow's nightclub?
I've been there once, yeah.
Last Wednesday?
Yeah.
Do you remember the girl?
Yeah, I didn't know that was her second name, you know?
Okay. Now, I'm here because you've been accused of raping Tara Comiskey.
What?
Do you understand what that means?
But I didn't.
Well, now, you see, she hasn't accused you. A boy called Damien Fitzgibbon has.
Cho stares straight ahead.
She was attacked in the graveyard up near the Grange. And she's identified Damien as her attacker. But he says it was you.
But I didn't do it. You have to ask her.
But she remembers somebody else being there.
I didn't know she was getting raped. Thought she was asleep or something. I didn't know. I just saw them for a second.
Okay. So you were there. You understand we need to take a blood test from you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Good man.
A police station waiting room.
Do you know how I know he didn't do it? Because he's like us. We're thinkers, not doers.
He's not capable of it.
Right, you're right.
Joe steps out.
Well, hold
on. Is everything cool?
I think you're a bit tired now, are you?
Thanks very much.
Could I have a quick word with you for a second?
Carmel and George both look at Frank.
I'll see you back at the house, okay?
Yeah. See you later.
George takes Joe by the arm and leads him outside. In an interview room.
You didn't hear anything else about what we were talking about, did you? When we were talking about the bookies?
No. Nothing.
Yeah?
What did I just say?
Don't take that tone with me. I'm just asking you.
You know, why are you asking me, you know? You're going to humiliate all of us today, is that it?
I'm trying to humiliate anyone, Frank. I'm just trying to find out who did it.
Fine, you know. Good luck to you, you know?
I don't need luck.
You want to bet?
I don't gamble.
You're right not to. Bookies have it all sewn up.
Sergeant Duggan looks disappointed.
Oh, Frank.
Frank smiles and leaves. Later, George looks in on Joe, sitting up in bed with a video game.
All right?
Yeah.
Ready for the lava?
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
George sits down in a chair beside the bed.
Mad. Do you know your mother was partially deaf in one ear?
No.
When she died, the doctors found a little tooth in her ear.
A tooth?
A little baby tooth. That they thought, you know, your mother must have, when she was a young girl, the tooth must have fell out and she put it under a pillow and it must have gone in her ear. That's what they thought must have happened. What do you think of that?
Joe shrugs. George reaches into his pocket, then takes out his wallet.
You have it?
He takes out a folded piece of brown paper. He unfolds it to reveal nothing. He checks his wallet.
I think I'm after losing the fucking thing.
For fuck's sake. Would you believe that? Dad.
Hmm?
Were you always a bit mad?
A bit. Always. You'll go mad too.
Sleep tight.
George steps out of the room and the smile on Joe's face slowly vanishes. Now the family's gathered outside the restaurant and Frank's embracing Carmel.
I see you soon, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Carmel?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, man. Keep your nose clean.
You know me.
I see you soon, boy, okay?
Look out, dude, sir.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to send a few bob back, you know? Clear up this loan.
I know. You look after yourself. I'll manage.
Jesus, just let me do this. What are you like?
I'm like myself. That's what I'm like.
That's your fucking problem.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Joe looks glum.
Giuseppe. Come on, Giuseppe. Say goodbye, man. Come on, come on. Come on.
As they embrace, Frank whispers in Joe's ear.
Why don't you take up with? There's a bag under the press.
He pats him on the back and leaves him staring out at the sand drifting across the beach. After saying a final farewell to George, Frank climbs into the back of a taxi, which then pulls away. Joe watches as George raises a hand and waves, then turns and strolls back towards the restaurant. Later, Joe's on his bike, riding along the coastal road he takes every day to school. On another road, girls in school uniforms are walking in groups of twos and threes. Stopping his bike where the two roads meet, Joe crosses over to meet the oncoming girls. Tara walks over to him. They stand looking at each other somberly.